Hello, excuse me. Hello, this is Paula with the Vermilion County News on Thursday, April 2nd, 2026. We'll start with a story titled Gas Prices Eclipse $4 a Gallon. This is written by the Associated Press in New York. U.S. gas prices jumped past an average of $4 a gallon for the first time since 2022 on Tuesday as the Iran war continues to push fuel prices higher worldwide. According to AAA, the national average for a gallon of regular gasoline is now $4.02, over a dollar more expensive than it was before the war began on February 28. That's the largest monthly jump the Motor Club has seen on record, and the last time U.S. drivers were collectively paying this much at the pump was nearly 4 years ago, following Russia's invasion of Ukraine. The price is a national average, meaning drivers in some states may have been paying well over $4 a gallon for a while now. Prices vary between states due to factors ranging from nearby supply to offering tax rates. Differing tax rates, sorry. Since the U.S. and Israel launched the war against Iran a month ago, the cost of crude oil, the main ingredient in gasoline, has spiked and swung rapidly. That's because the conflict has caused deep supply chain disruptions and cuts from major oil producers across the Middle East. Both Brent crude, the international standard, and benchmark USA crude are now going for more than $100 per barrel, up from roughly $70 before the war. Motorists around the world are coping with higher gas prices. In Paris, for example, gas is at €2.34 per liter, which is $2.68, which is about $10.27 a gallon. Expensive gas could drive up prices. Higher gas prices arrive as many households continue to face wider cost of living strains, and as drivers pay more to cover necessities like gas for even utility bills impacted by soaring fuel costs, many may be forced to cut their budgets in other places. That threatens broader consequences for the economy overall. Before launching the war, President Donald Trump bragged about keeping gas prices low. Consumer prices and the cost of living already have become flashpoints in the midterm election year. A recent APNORC poll found that 45% of United States adults are extremely or very concerned about being able to afford gas in the next few months, up from 30% shortly after Trump won the 2024 presidential election. Beyond visits to the pump, analysts say that fuel costs will trickle into groceries, which have to be restocked frequently, and could also see price hikes as businesses' transportation and packaging costs pile up. Other cargo has also been impacted. The United States Postal Service is seeking a temporary 8% added charge on some of its popular products, including Priority Mail. Drivers feel the pinch. "I think it's outrageous," Kelly Gravlin said of the gas prices while filling up her Toyota 4Runner at a Costco in Commerce Township, northwest of Detroit. She paid about $3.95 per gallon for regular unleaded today, with a final cost of $70.73. "We're in a war that we shouldn't be in, that's therefore hiking up our prices," said Gravlin, from the president who ran on getting gas prices low. Elisa Howell of Charlotte, North Carolina, normally fills up her tank entirely when she goes to the gas station, but now she says she just gets enough fuel to do what she needs to do each day. Howell hopes gas prices will go down as Trump once promised, but stressed that the foolishness with the government continues to impact people's livelihoods. She blamed the administration for making the decision to attack Iran, adding that it doesn't believe it was worth going to war. "It's just unfair to all of us. It doesn't matter if you're Democrat or Republican. It's everybody," Hal said. Many drivers are in the hunt for cheaper prices where they can find them. Danielle Irvin of Novi, Michigan, stopped at a local Speedway station Tuesday morning because it offers an 11-cent per gallon discount. Still, overall, even Irvin said what she pays now is terrible. She knows she's had to cut other prices to of her budget. I need to get cut back on some of the streaming services at home, so the kids are a little upset about that. I had to change which grocery stores I buy my fruits and veggies at, Irvin said. And then I'm not buying stuff for myself, sneakers and clothes and all that other stuff, because I have to maintain for the household. And there's a picture of gas prices, cash and credit card are displayed at a gas station on Glenview on March 22nd. Next story is titled Ringing Endorsement. United States Representative Kelly backs Roberson for the 104th District, and this is written by Chad Dare in Danville. Historical things are important, but Mary Catherine Roberson says she wants to do the work. That was her message on Tuesday at a special endorsement luncheon held for her at the Laura Lee Fellowship House in Danville that included Congresswoman Robin Kelly and former state Senator Dr. Stacey Bennett. What matters to me is whether people can afford to live, she said, whether our people can afford to get the help that they need, whether our young people see a future in this community, whether government is actually working for everyday people. She included a quote from former President Barack Obama, "Change will not come if we wait for some other person or if we wait for some other time. We are the ones we've been waiting for. We are the change that we seek," he said. Roberson added, "People don't wake up in the morning thinking about politics. They wake up thinking about if they can afford groceries. Can they pay their rent? Can they go to the doctor? Can they afford childcare? And their neighborhoods, are their neighborhoods safe? Can they afford to pay bills, keep the lights on, and still have enough money left to breathe?" Dr. Bennett, while introducing Representative Kelly, shared a story about a letter of recommendation that her husband, the late Senator Scott Bennett, wrote for Roberson. For Mary Catherine, it's truly never been about her and her own ego, Scott Bennett wrote. It's about positive changes to the people in our community. She inspires me every day to be a more selfless public servant. I look forward to be able to vote for her one day soon. Roberson remembers that Scott Bennett showed her what it meant to have poise and diplomacy. "I wish that he could be here," she said. One person that Roberson was very happy to have in Danville on Tuesday is Kelly, who just 2 weeks ago lost in the Democratic Senate primary to Juliana Stratton. "I'm fine," said Kelly, acknowledging the question on most people's minds about her. I know what I have done. I know what I am about. I have 9 more months to the Congresswoman that I can be." Kelly admitted one of her goals for those final months is to make sure that everyone on her staff has a new job. For Roberson, who is a director of constituent services for the Congresswoman, Kelly firmly believes she needs to be the next 104th state representative. "She has been so wonderful, a breath of fresh air," Kelly said. "So dedicated, so focused. She loves you, Danville. She loves you." And Kelly has seen that firsthand. "This is the only part of my district that I go where the people don't say, 'Oh, the Congresswoman,'" Kelly said. Here, it's all Mary Catherine. Still, Kelly knows it's not easy to run for public office. "You never know at the end of the day what is going to happen," she said. "Keep your head up so that your own crown doesn't fall. You are the epitome of what a public servant should be." Roberson appreciated the endorsement from Kelly, thanking her for the leadership and her example. "You have inspired me in more ways than you know," Roberson said. "I remember that when you were talking about your own decision to run for office, and you said you couldn't go to the rest of your life wondering what if, and that stayed with me because I realized, could I spend the rest of my life wondering what if either? What if I had stepped up? What if I had answered the call? What if I had ran to represent the community that raised me? Here I am." Roberson noted it was a very fitting to have the luncheon at the Laura Lee Fellowship house because of its significance in her life. And there is a picture of Representative Robin Kelly tells a story about the love Catherine Roberson has for Danville. Next story is titled Vermilion County Business Owner Sentenced to Jail for Tax Fraud. And this is written by a staff reporter in Urbana. Howard Keith Wilson, 73, of Danville, was sentenced to a jail for tax fraud on Monday. According to a release from the United States Attorney's Office, Central District of Illinois, Wilson received three years of supervised release, during which he will serve 30 consecutive weekends in jail for failure to pay employment taxes to the Internal Revenue Service and failure to file federal income tax returns. On July 24th of 2025, Wilson pleaded guilty before United States Magistrate Judge Eric I. Long to 15 separate accounts of collecting employment taxes from his employees, which included taxes for his employees, Social Security, and Medicare payments, but then failing to turn over those taxes or to pay the employer's portion of those taxes to the IRS. At the time of his plea, Wilson admitted that he had failed to pay those taxes from 2013 through 2020. Wilson also pleaded guilty to three counts of failing to file a personal federal income tax return from 2018 to 2020. At the sentencing hearing, the government presented evidence establishing that Wilson was the sole owner of Wilson's Body Shop, a collision repair and car painting business located in Danville, and employed several individuals. Wilson generated and distributed forms W-2s to his employees, whereby he deducted federal employment tax withholdings from their salaries, but then failed to pay those taxes or the employer's share of those taxes to the IRS. William failed to pay employment taxes from at least 2013 through 2020, totaling an employment tax loss of $351,152. Moreover, Wilson failed to file a personal federal income tax return or pay federal taxes in 2018, 2019, and 2020, despite income of $698,354, $1,058,401, and $722,603, respectively, resulting in an additional federal income tax loss of $505,871. That's a lot of numbers. The evidence showed that Wilson has a substantial net worth and continues to operate Wilson's Body Shop in Danville. United States District Judge Colin S. Bruce ordered Wilson to serve one day in jail, time served, to be followed by 3 years of supervised release, and to pay a $1,575 mandatory special assessment. As a condition of supervised release, Judge Bruce ordered Wilson to pay restitution of $614,411.26 to the IRS and to serve 30 consecutive weekends, known as intermittent confinement, in a local jail where the United States Marshals Service has a contract to hold federal inmates. Judge Bruce also ordered Wilson to pay 50% of his disposable income each month towards his restitution obligation. The statutory penalties for each count of failing to pay employment taxes are up to 5 years of imprisonment, 3 years of supervised release, full restitution, and a $10,000 fine. The case investigation was conducted by the Internal Revenue Service's Criminal Investigations Division Supervisory Assistant U.S. State's Attorney Eugene L. Miller represented the government in the prosecution. Well, there are no obituaries today, so we'll just continue reading stories. The next one is titled Danville Olympics Moves to YMCA Because of Weather, written by a staff reporter in Danville. First Fridays in downtown Danville announces a change for the 2026 Danville Olympics. Originally slated to be the first outdoor event of the year for First Fridays, the possible inclement weather on Friday has forced organizers to move the games to the Danville YMCA located at 1111 Vermilion Street in Danville. Teams of 2 to 5 friends or family members will still be able to participate in an evening of free mini tailgate style games from 5 to 8 p.m. and there will be still still be food trucks on site. The move did force the cancellation of live music at the Temple Plaza by Georgetown, but organizers are going to try and schedule the group for another event later this year. According to the release from the city of Danville, local businesses are stepping up as event hosts, bringing their most exciting and competitive mini games, transforming the Danville YMCA into our very own Olympic Village. Teams of 2 to 5 will report to the check-in area, your official athlete credential station, to receive a scorecard and a map of the event layout. From there, the torch is in your hands. Teams can compete in as many mini events as possible to earn points, climb the leaderboard, and go to the Danville Gold. Every challenge conquered moves a team closer to the podium, grand prizes, and bragging rights. Additionally, for those who want to join into festivities without competing for medals, several open play exhibition games will be offered. For more information regarding Danville Olympics and more upcoming events, please visit the First Friday's website at www.cityofdanville.org/373/First-Fridays-in-Downtown-Danville. That's a long website. Next story is titled Indiana Launches Campaign on Distracted Driving Speeding and written by a staff reporter in Indianapolis. The Indiana Criminal Justice Institute, known as ICGI, is partnering with Indiana State Police, known as ISP, and local law enforcement agencies across the state to increase patrols aimed at reducing speeding and distracted driving on Indiana roadways as part of the annual Safer Rides Road campaign supported by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, known as the NHTSA. As part of the Comprehensive Highway Injury Reduction Program, known as CHIRP, an ICJI initiative that provides federal funding for local traffic safety enforcement, officers statewide will work overtime beginning April 4th through April 13th to identify and stop drivers who are speeding or violating the Indiana's hands-free law. Distracted driving and speeding are preventable behaviors that put drivers, passengers, and pedestrians at risk, said Douglas Huntsinger, executive director of the ICJI. This campaign is a reminder that these actions have real consequences, and law enforcement officers are actively working to keep Indiana's roads safe. According to NHTSA, Indiana recorded 249 speeding-related fatalities in 2023, and distracted driving accounted for 47 fatal incidents. However, limitations on data collection suggest that the actual number of deadly crashes caused by distracted drivers is likely higher than reported. Traffic safety is a core public safety priority, ISP Superintendent Anthony Scott said. We are committed to promoting voluntary compliance and reducing crashes, injuries, and fatalities. Distracted driving and speeding pose serious risks, and campaigns like this are essential to confronting these behaviors and ensuring safer roadways for all of motorists. Indiana's hands-free law, which took effect in 2020, prohibits drivers from holding mobile devices while operating a motor vehicle. Calls may be only made using hands-free technology such as Bluetooth headset or any other hands-free technology. To prevent dangerous driving behaviors, ICGI and ISP encourage motorists to put the phone down and avoid multitasking while driving, obey posted speed limits, and adjust speed for road conditions. Allow extra travel time, especially during busy commute periods. Keep a safe distance between vehicles. CHIRP is supported by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and administered by the Indiana Criminal Justice Institute. Next story is titled Hoosier Caregivers Contribute $16.1 Billion in Unpaid Labor, written by Mackenzie Keeman in the Indiana Capital Chronicle. An AARP report found that the 1.1 11 million Hoosiers who act as caregivers to parents, spouses, and other adult loved ones contribute $16.1 billion in unpaid labor each year. Family caregivers assist disabled or elderly loved ones with daily tasks like toileting, dressing, and preparing meals. But the AARP report found caregivers are increasingly likely to engage in complex tasks like wound care or administering injections, increasing the hours of unpaid labor they perform. Collectively, Hoosier caregivers perform an estimated 860 million hours of unpaid labor that would otherwise be valued at $16.1 billion each year if they were compensated at the market rate of $18.68 per hour, the report found. Family caregivers are filling a critical gap in our healthcare system, Sarah Waddell, AARP Indiana State Director, said in the news release. The care they are providing is often coming at a significant cost to their health, financial security, and well-being. This is why AARP is raising awareness of this crucial issue and working to help family caregivers save time and money. The numbers are up from a similar 2023 report that found an estimated 790,000 Hoosiers provided more than 740 million hours of care to their elderly as family caregivers, a value of more than $10.8 billion. The report draws in 2024 caregiving data to calculate the economic contributions of unpaid family caregivers. The estimated value of caregiving varies across the states from $14.12 an hour in Louisiana to $27.05 an hour in Washington. In Indiana, the market rate is $18.68 an hour. Nationally, the AARP found 59 million Americans act as caregivers for adults, the equivalent of 24 million full-time workers or 17% of the entire United States full-time workforce. The average family caregiver spends 27 hours each week assisting a parent, spouse, or other adult. Next story is titled, Danville Man Arrested for Aggravated Fleeing Drug Charges, written by a staff reporter in Danville. A Danville man led on a chase before being involved in an accident and later arrested on three charges, including drug possession. According to the release from Danville Police Sergeant Andrew Brooks, the Danville Police Department was notified at approximately 10:20 a.m. on Monday, March 30th, of a vehicle that was driving erratically in the area of Vermilion and Liberty Streets. An officer responded to the area and observed a vehicle pulling out of a business in the 3600 block of Vermilion Street. The officer attempted to stop the vehicle, but the driver, later identified as Norman Potts, 54, of Danville, refused to stop and continued at a high rate of speed. Potts drove into oncoming traffic, eventually hitting another vehicle attempting to turn into a business in the 3900 block of Vermilion Street. Potts was taken into custody, and a search of Potts and his vehicle uncovered approximately 100 grams of suspected fentanyl and approximately 50 grams of suspected cannabis. Potts was transported to a local hospital for treatment. He was later discharged and transported to the Vermilion County Jail on preliminary charges of aggravated fleeing and eluding, possession of controlled substance with intent to deliver, and drive with wild license suspended. The driver of the other vehicle that Potts struck was treated on the scene and released. The Danville Police Department reminds the public that all suspects are considered innocent until proven guilty in a court of law. We'll do some local sports what they did. Local roundup. BHRA baseball wins after break. This is written by Marvin Holman in Bismarck. The Bismarck-Henning Rossville Alvin baseball team showed no signs of rust after 11 days off, beating Rantoul 10-2 on Tuesday. Mason Clapp and Jackson Spicer each had two hits and two RBIs for the Blue Devils, while Jaden Peters had two RBIs and Landon Packard and Cruz Dubois each had two hits. Liam Parrish had 11 strikeouts in six innings, while Dubois had three strikeouts in the seventh for BHRA, who are 2-1 and will host Fisher on today. PBL 11 Oakwood 1 in Paxton. The Oakwood baseball team had a rough a tough road loss on Tuesday, losing 11-1 in a 5 innings to the Paxton Buckley Lota. Grady Johnson had an RBI double in the second inning for the Comets, while Xander Wilson, Colin Furey, and Weston Frazier each had one hit. The Comets are 2-4 and will host Heritage on Thursday. St. Thomas More 12, Salt Fork 2 in Champaign. The Salt Fork baseball team scored the first run of Tuesday's game against St. Thomas More, but could not keep up as the Storm lost 12-2 to the Sabres. Braden Norton had an RBI for the Storm, while Zayden Bromley and Hayden Knight each had two hits. Salt Fork drops to 3-3 and will face Danville today. The Storm will be coming off a 10-9 loss to Leroy on Monday. Eli Ware had two hits and four RBIs for the Storm, while Norton had two hits and three RBIs. Bromley had two hits, and Landon Downing had one RBI. GCMS 4, Hoopston Area 1, and this is in Hoopston. After getting the first win of the season on Monday, the Hoopston area baseball team could not get a second straight win on Tuesday, losing to Gibson City Melvin Sibley 4-1. Dallas Shepard and Felix Cantu each had a hit for the Cornjerkers, while Cantu and losing pitcher Isaiah Mobley combined for 13 strikeouts. Hoopston area is 1-5 and will travel to Colfax Ridgeview on Thursday. And then in prep softball, Leroy 9, Danville nothing. The Danville softball team had a tough time against Leroy on Monday, losing 9-0 in 5 innings on Monday. Deanna Liners had 8 strikeouts on the mound and had 2 of the 7 hits for the Vikings, while Olivia Skaggs, Kaylee Eileen, Gabby Kreider, Gracie Briggs, and Kara Thompson had a hit. The Vikings are 2-3 and will play at the Rantoul tournament on Friday. And Oakwood SA 10, Tri-County 2, Oakwood. In Oakwood, the Oakwood Schlarman Academy softball team broke a 2-game losing streak on Tuesday with a 10-2 win over Tri-County. Irene Regal had 3 hits. and 2 RBIs and 5 strikeouts in 2 innings for the Comets, while winning pitcher Ashton Daly had 7 strikeouts with 2 hits and 2 RBIs. The Comets are 7-4 and will face Arthur Lovington Atwood Hammond today. Just one quick local brief here. Danville Art League hosts competition. The Danville Art League is having an annual Sharon Schmitz Regional Open Art Competition next month. This competition is open to any artist 18 years of age or older from within a 150-mile radius of Danville. It is a non-juried event. Cash awards will be given for the best of show, first place, second place, and third place in 6 categories. All work must be original and not copied from any copyrighted image. Drop-off entries will with an entry form and fee of $20 for members and $25 for non-members on Saturday, April 4th from 9 to 2 p.m. at the Danville Art League. Entry forms are available at the Art League located at 320 Franklin Street in Danville and are on the website at www.danvilleartleague.com. This show is partially sponsored by Bill and Kathy Faltish, Resch Frame Shop, Donald and Susan Richter, Kroos Insurance, Mary Chambers, Polycynic Pharmacy, and the Illinois Arts Council. For more information, please call the Art League at 217-442-9264. That'll be it for today, Thursday, April 2nd, 22. Looks like it's going to be a nice rainy weekend. But the Illini are playing in the Final Four, and hopefully we'll continue on and have a good turnout and be in the final on Monday. I hope you all have a good week, and hopefully I'll see you again next week. Take care. Bye.